Turn with me, brothers, in the Word of God to the book of Job 23. This is Job's replies, one of Job's replies. We'll only read this chapter. This reply goes on to the end of chapter 24. But let's read only this chapter. Hear now the word of God. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he's working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore I am terrified at his presence. When I consider, I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face." Amen. I'm sure all of us realize that suffering and trouble and struggles are our everyday companion through the journey of life. None of us is immune to troubles, to grief, to the shedding of tears. We encounter this on a daily basis. Now, trouble, problems, difficulties, whatever you may call it, they actually put us on a T-junction. A T-junction where we get the opportunity to make a right turn or a wrong turn. And many of us have made a wrong turn when confronted with suffering, with difficulties. Dr. Sandy Wilson wrote a book which became a bestseller. The book says, the title is Hurt People, Hurt People. Hurt People, Hurt People. In that book, Dr. Wilson was trying to show that the people who are hurt are likely to be hurting others. as they project that hurt on every relationship they come across. And that's very much true if one makes a wrong turn in the midst of suffering and pain and difficulty. I remember many years ago, what illustrates this even more so is the events of 1994 to 1995, July 1994 to October 1995. The gentleman by the name of Moses Sithole, who became very notorious in South Africa because he was the well-known ABC serial killer. They call him ABC because he started his killings in Attridgeville, went to Boksburg, went to Cleveland. And he was killing women between the ages of 18 and 45. By his own admission, he killed 76 women. But the evidence from the investigators, they could only prove 38 women that he raped and killed during that period. As they started, the psychologists and others who deal in the mental profession started to inquire what would enter into a person to commit such crimes. They discovered that Moses Sithole was harboring an anger against women from the fact that, first of all, he was abandoned by his mother. He and his siblings, after the death of their father, the mother abandoned them and they had to grow up in an orphanage. And in that orphanage, they were often abused. And he went on the wrong side of the law because as a teenager, he was also accused of rape and spent some time in prison. When he came out, he was on a path of revenge against anyone that reminded him of the people who he perceived to have caused pain in his life. It's a sad story. We know those kind of stories. For me, that story was very close to me because I remember in 1995, as a young pastor in the church, my first church, I had to do the funeral of one of the victims of Moses Sithole that he murdered in Attridgeville. And you wonder, why is it happening like this? I was thinking about this. What reminded me of this was the events of last week when Brian and I were attending the funeral of our brother and colleague, former student, former lecturer here at Mukanyo, who died under very difficult circumstances. We know his pain, we know his struggles, mental, emotional struggles, his deterioration. And to see him ending his life in the way it ended, it pained us to say, why? Why? Could we have done anything differently? It was very difficult for us to understand. And I remember at that point, I was wrestling with a question of Dr. Brian Chappell, who, when he was doing a funeral to a friend who had died under similar circumstances, he said in that audio clip, my heart has to question if one who has so well reflected the truths of the gospel could experience such a valley of shadow. What is the guarantee that such a valley of shadow is not waiting out there for me as well? And those words, for me personally, they really were probing. They bothered me, and they drove me to this book which has comforted saints throughout history, the book of Job. And there I found that I could hew for myself a stone of hope out of a mountain of despair. In Job chapter 23, verse 10, Job says in answering his friends, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." And in those words, God was speaking to me, showing me that in every struggle, you are faced with a choice to make the wrong turn or to make the right turn. The wrong turn is not a good one. That's the one that leads to suicide. That's the one that leads to bitterness. That's the one that leads to murder. That's the one that leads to harming others and harming ourselves. But the path that God intends us to take is the right path. And this is the path that Job is talking about here in chapter 23, verse 10. In other words, recognizing the God factor in every struggle that we are going through. In the darkness of the suffering and the struggle and the pain, somewhere there is a silver lining called God. And if we can miss out on that, we can so easily deteriorate and take a path that will lead us to our own destruction or to the destruction of others. And so this becomes clear in the book of Job. And I want to use this passage, this text, verse 10, as a vantage point to see how our struggles can be a blessing to ourselves, they can be a blessing to others, and that they can be a blessing to God, in that God can be glorified in our struggles. Job says, "God knows the way that I take." Remember, in the old chapter, Job is wrestling with the question, "Where is God in my suffering?" He's wrestling with that question. Notice, brothers, he is not wrestling with this question holding an ESV Bible in his hand. He is not having the scroll of Isaiah chapter 43, where it says, "When you go through the fire, I will be with you. When you go through, when you cross the floods, I will be with you." As far as Job is concerned, he doesn't know those texts. He doesn't know Romans 8, verse 28. "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose." As far as Job is concerned, he only relies on his own personal revelation of God, which we don't know how he got it. He has a little light. He has a little knowledge. And he's relying on that knowledge and he's holding on to it regardless what. As he's struggling, he's worse off than you and me. Because at least I can look in my Bible for answers. I can turn through the pages of my Bible. Job does not have those. Now, but by the grace of God, Job helps us to see, to navigate through our struggles, through our difficulties in a very excellent way. And we can learn something from him this morning. Firstly, he shows us in this text that struggles, suffering, difficulties, pain offers us the opportunity to be blessed. It offers us the opportunity to be blessed because he says, he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. He has before him the image of a miner who digs out gold from the dirt underground and doesn't immediately take it and sell it, but he goes through the process of refining it, purifying it, removing the dirt, removing the soil, removing all the impurities until the gold is pure and valuable. But all that involves the furnace, the fire. It goes through the fire and it's melted. And only when it comes out of the fire can it be measured. Now we have so many ounces of gold. This is their worth in monetary terms. And it can be used as a standard for commerce and economy. And Job looks at himself like that and he sees his struggles. He doesn't understand. He says, when I go to the east, I don't find God. I go to the west, I don't find him. I go to the north, I don't find him. I wish he was here and I could put a chair for him and I sit opposite him and ask him, why is this happening to me? But it seems my prayers are just hitting the ceiling and coming back to me. That's what Job is experiencing. But he says, when God is done with me, God is busy with me, I'm not a victim of circumstance. I'm not a victim of bad luck. I'm not a victim of chance. There is a purpose. There is a logic. I may not understand the logic, but there is a logic to my suffering and pain. And Job says, there's going to come a time when he is finished with me. I'm going to come out of this situation better than when I entered. That's the marvelous grace, brothers, that comes out of suffering as a child of God. No wonder why James tells us, James chapter 1, count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter sufferings of various kinds. He says, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance must complete its work. You see? So in other words, there are some things that are good that are happening in my life through my troubles, through my struggles, through my sorrows. And no wonder a person like John Piper wrote a famous book, Don't Waste Your Cancer. Don't Waste Your Cancer. And he was saying in that book, you know what, your struggle, and in his case, he wrote it, that was a day before he went for his chemo. He says, the time of cancer, and in my, and I want to say, the time of every struggle, every difficulty, it's a wonderful opportunity for personal growth and development. You can become better. You can improve. You can grow out of the situation. But also, you can be a blessing to others. But before you even become a blessing to others, Job, let's take Job for instance. Job himself in chapter 42, verse 5 and 6, reflecting on the things that have gone by, his situation that he had gone by, he says, you know what, God? I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, If I had not gone through what I went through, I would not know God the way I know him now. That's what Job is actually saying. And it wasn't easy, brother. Think about it. If you were to lose your job, and you lose your house, and you find yourself sleeping on the streets, that's trouble enough, isn't it? And we would say, wow, that's a terrible thing. What a terrible thing that would happen, that has happened to you. But with Job, it wasn't that. It was a loss of wealth. All his livestock, his business is gone in one day. From riches to rags. It was a loss of children. He stood before 10 open graves. And saw his sons, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all being buried in one go. He saw his body falling apart. Boils all over the body. He lost it all. Think about the tension in his own house. When his wife said, curse God and die, are you still holding on to your integrity? Or think about him when he reflects on these things in chapter 19, verse 17. My breath is strange to my wife. His wife could not even stand him anymore. Think about the assaults from his friends. Eliphaz, who says Job's wickedness is great. And he says to him, remember, who was innocent, whoever perished? Or where were the upright cut off? As I've seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. So Job, you are reaping. Or maybe the same words from Eliphaz. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. If you remove injustice far from your tents, Job, repent. Or Bildad, for instance, who says, you know what, Job, if you will seek, in Job chapter 8, verse 5, if you will seek God and plead with the Almighty for mercy, if you are pure and upright, surely then he will rouse himself for you and restore your rightful habitation. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. Job, please repent. As if that was not enough, you get Zophar, chapter 11, verse 6. And that he will tell you the secrets of wisdom, for he is manifold in understanding. Know then that God exacts of you less than your guilt deserves. In other words, he's saying, Job, actually, all the losses, all the suffering you're experiencing, it's far less than what you deserve. You actually deserve far worse than this. And all these people were driving spears on Job. In spite of it all, Job is holding fast to his God. And it's interesting that even at that point, as he was holding fast, God says about Job, God himself bears testimony to Job. He says, he says the following about Job. He still speaks what is right, not what is perverse. In other words, in spite of everything that has happened, Job maintained his integrity. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 tells us that he did not sin by charging God with wrong. Bearing fruit in the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his pain. That's Job. But then, you see that Job ends up becoming a blessing. He becomes a blessing. God uses Job to become a blessing. Not only to his friends, but to all of us. But first, let's look at his friends. God speaks in the end of chapter 42. And he says about Job's friends. He says, after the Lord has spoken these words to Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves. And my servant Job shall do what? Pray for you. For I will accept his prayer not to deal with you accordingly, according to your folly. For you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Job must now function as a priest to his friends. He must now pray for them. He must now represent them before God. And God will not accept nothing less than the prayers of Job for these friends. And Job becomes a blessing to his friends. But not only that, brothers. Let's face it. Throughout my ministry, I'm not sure how many times I've used the book of Job to comfort those. Sometimes somebody has lost a child, somebody has lost a spouse, somebody has lost parents, somebody has lost siblings, somebody who has been traumatized through rape, somebody who has been traumatized through assaults, armed robbery, all those things. I have used the book of Job, and many Christians have used this book and have leaned on this book for comfort during difficult times. And so Job continues to bless generation after generation after generation after generation. Why? Because Job, by the grace of God, chose the right path instead of the wrong path. He refused to be bitter. He refused to be bitter against others. He refused to be bitter against God. But he continued to trust God. And so God made him fruitful and a blessing. But also, we can see through this that through suffering, how God is wonderfully glorified. If we look through history, the best moment that God was glorified, I'm sure all of us who are Christians will recall, it was that moment when his son, Jesus Christ, was drinking the cup of suffering of the wrath of God on the cross. All those sufferings on that fateful day that he took upon ourselves, upon himself for us. The book of Hebrews tells us, chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And out of that suffering, what has come up from generation to generation, God has been gathering men and women, young people, boys and girls into the community of the Spirit called the church. And it will happen, continue happening until Jesus Christ comes. The wonderful blessing of those sufferings. While our sufferings do not produce salvation as such, they are not redemptive as such, but we are talking of the sufferings of the one to whom we owe all our being, our everything, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful aroma of that suffering in the nostrils of God throughout eternity. So much so, God was satisfied and said, I don't want any bulls anymore. I don't want any goats. I don't want any sheep. This is totally sufficient. My wrath has been taken away from those who believe. What a wonderful truth. I think we can say amen to that. Amen. So, we cannot allow our heads to degenerate into heads. We can rather turn our heart, our heads, into a wonderful opportunity to be a blessing to others, to ourselves, to others, but also to be a blessing to God, to glorify God. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 1. He says, you know, my sufferings have produced something marvelous. He says, even in the house of Caesar, some people now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of my chains. He wasn't allowing himself to wrap himself around with self-pity, the garment of self-pity. But he was willing to say, hey, there's a God factor in this suffering. Christ is magnified. And Paul always wanted to see Jesus glorified even with his suffering. He says, that he might be glorified in me, whether by life or death. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I have to mention in closing a recent conversation by email we had with a friend of mine. He is Dutch, but I will read what he said. It sounds to me like he was doing direct translation from Dutch to English. And his, even the way he speaks, it comes out in the email. I wish who all the best for 2020. May the Lord give who good health for who and family, and that he will bless the things that who will undertake. I myself, I am still being in a research stadium, but my cancer is terminal, and I have to prepare myself for the meeting with my Lord and Savior. But we let everything his hands. Thank you for your prayers. Jelte de Vries. That was on the 8th of January 2020. I had last had a meeting with him first week of December last year. It was heartbreaking for me. I didn't know what to say to him, but I prayed about it, and then on the 9th, I wrote a response to him. And I said, hello, Brother Jelte. Glad to hear from you, and blessings to you and your family in the new year. It is sad, though, to hear about your situation. God knows it all. Our lives are in his loving hands. All things will work out for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. As you say that you leave everything in his hands, that too is an act of faith. I remind you the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. What is your only hope, comfort in life and in death? That I, in body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and redeemed me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. Wherefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live unto him. May the Lord strengthen you by his grace and enable you to carry his cross that he has laid on you. May he be glorified forever and ever in you by life or death. Amen. So that was our last exchange. Yesterday morning, Brother Rob called me when I arrived here and he said, Brother Yelte has gone to be with the Lord. He died on the operating table. And this whole conversation came to mind again, this exchange. Your head, our head, all of us can be used in a wonderful way to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ and all that he has done. Give us grace to follow him nearly, to love him dearly, day by day. In his name we ask. Amen.